Welcome to this message from the pulpit of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. This message is by Pastor Ben Simpson. To find out more about our church and its ministries, visit us on the web at westmainbaptist.com. Now may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Father, we come to you this morning, and as I read this passage, Father, this is a scripture verse that has eaten me alive in a good way over the past few months, God. As I've thought about the book of Galatians, as I've read it, as I've meditated on it, Lord, it is a passage, God, a verse that will change our lives if we'll simply just grasp it and live it. Father, we ask you to be with us this morning. Speak to us, God, because we want to be a kingdom after you, chasing after you, a people who follows you wherever you would lead us. Help us to be that, Lord. Father, I pray you'd give us eyes to see, you'd give us ears to hear, and hearts to love this morning your word. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I need a volunteer this morning to come up front. Any takers? Come on. Don't be shy. I need you to be able to read, though. So not too young. Not too young. Come on. All right, guy said he would. All right, guy, come on. He's always a guinea pig, isn't he? I said volunteer, but actually what I meant was victim. I didn't say that first. No. Come on up here, guy. Now, what I've got here, guys, I'm going to have two commandments for you here on the screen, okay? Two commandments for you here on the screen. And what I need you to do is I need you to read both of the commandments before you do them, before you follow them, okay? So here they are. First commandment. Commandment number one. Read it out loud, guy.
Well,
I'm not there. Get here. All right. Here we go.
Before doing anything else, pat your head and rub your belly while singing the national anthem.
I'm excited to see you do that. Okay. All right. Here's commandment number one. Don't forget. Here's commandment number two.
All right, before doing anything else, give Brother Ben a high five.
All right, go ahead. Follow both those commandments. That's the truth, right? What's the problem? You can't follow both, can you?
That's right.
Because if you did the first commandment, you would break the second commandment.
Right.
And if you did the second commandment, you would break the first. But now you're doing neither, and so you're breaking both of them. All right? Hey, let's give God a hand for that. Friends, listen, Jesus knew this to be true as well. Because in Matthew chapter 6, the 24th verse, Jesus said no one can serve two masters. Right? Because he'll either love one and hate the other one, or be devoted to one and despise the other one. And as we look at this passage tonight, or this morning here, in Galatians chapter 1, it goes right along with that. The spirit of Matthew 6:24 is the very essence of our text today. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other one. And you can see it right here in our text as Jim read. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. You see, right here, Paul throws two very important questions at us. And you know what? I love questions. I love questions because they make me think. They cause you to dig and to search. You see, and when they're aimed at your life, which this one is aimed at your life. Yes, Paul is making, he's making a declaration. He's writing, and this is in the context of his argument. But as you and I read this today, these questions should be aimed right at our lives. And so they cause you to do some introspection. They cause you to look inward and examine yourselves. And what you have set before you this morning, my friends, is an opportunity to grow. Don't you know that if you never examine your life, if you never look at your life and examine it, that you will never grow? If you never examine it according to the Word of God, you'll never reach your fullest potential? And that's so true. And so our text today gives you an opportunity
to grow and to examine your heart. It throws at us a massive question. As I prayed while ago, as I prayed and just confessed to God that this verse has eaten me up in a good way over the past month or so, as I've studied over this and meditated over this, you are in for a treat if you'll just take this verse and meditate on this verse, because it's one of those questions, it's one of those scripture passages that will change your life if you'll come to terms with its implications. And so here's the big question this morning for us. The big question is this: whom are you trying to please? Whom are you trying to please? So let's look at our text here. As we see our text here, the first thing that jumps out to me from this text as I look at it is that you and I should know that you cannot consistently please both God and man. Know that you cannot consistently please God and man. Now let's be honest, there are times, praise the Lord, that you can accomplish both. There are times in life where God is happy and man is happy, but that's not always the case. And to be honest, let's be honest, often it's not the case. You see, the world is in opposition to God. It's under the influence of Satan, the Bible says. Look at what John 12:31 says. Basically, it implies that Satan is the ruler of the world. If you look at the context there with which the Bible's speaking there, Satan is the ruler of this world. And we know that according to Ephesians 2:2, it's Satan's spirit that is working right now amongst the sons of disobedience in this world. You see, you've often heard that oil and water don't mix, and they don't, do they? Neither does darkness and light. Darkness hates the light. Therefore, the world hates God and the things of God. Now, you might say, I don't know that I've really found that to be true. Well, if that's the case, then you're blessed to live in a Bible-saturated culture right here in this area, because there are going to be places that you might travel out from here and people will look at you like you're a dog for believing that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Here, it's weird if you don't, but in most of the world, people think you're crazy if you think that Christ is the Savior. And so the world is in opposition to God. You see, God says that Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. But what does the world say? The world says that there are many ways to be saved. Actually, a lot of times the world goes further and says, I don't need to be saved at all. I'm perfectly fine the way I am. God says that the marriage bed is to be undefiled. That's what God says. But the world says, have sex whenever you want to, however you want to, with whomever you want to. God says that life is precious and is to be protected from conception to the moment they die. But the world tells us to abort babies and euthanize the elderly. God says that heterosexuality is the only legitimate form of relations. But what does the world say? The world says that homosexuality is just as legitimate. God says that every tribe, tongue, and nation, regardless of their skin color and culture, are one race, the human race. But what does the world say back to us? The world says that whites are one race, blacks are a different race, Asians are another race, and so on and so forth, and that one race is superior to the others. That's what the world says. Guys, I could go on and on. Those are just five short, simple illustrations to show you how the world is in opposition to God. And you know that to be true. We could go on and on. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, this morning as we look at this, you have to see that set before you this morning, every day, as a matter of fact, are choices. Every day you have choices. Moment by moment, you and I are faced with this question that Paul poses to us. Am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Every day, moment by moment, you and I are faced with that very question. Am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Listen, I'm sure you remember from Joshua, that famous scripture verse, Joshua 24:15, where Joshua challenged the Israelites to choose that day which God they would serve. But you know, really, it's not a day-by-day thing, is it? It's not. It's really a second-by-second thing. Choose you this second which God you will serve. And almost every second in your life presents another opportunity for you to choose whom you'll serve. God is one option, and man is the other option. And when I say man, I'm talking about outside of us and inside of us, right? The self. I can either choose to follow God and to love God and honor God, or I can choose to honor myself and other mankind. Those are the only two options. Just know this morning that you cannot consistently please both God and man. But also this morning, I want you to see that you and I must understand that naturally, you and I will give priority to our flesh, to your flesh and the world. That's what happens naturally because of the curse of Adam that is put on us. I want you to notice carefully what Paul confesses here in this verse. Notice that he says, if I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Now when he says, if I were still trying to please men, you know what that means? That means at one time, he did. He's saying, I used to try to please men. That's what you have here. You have a confession of a former people pleaser. This morning, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you this morning would say, I am a people pleaser? Don't raise your hand, but you would say this morning, I do. I struggle pleasing people. Sometimes that's my greatest goal. I'll be honest with you this morning. I relate so much to what Paul is saying here because I am a people pleaser. I am. I do. I'm what one might call a peacemaker. And maybe you're shaped just like me. Maybe you're a peacemaker. You see, when I say that I'm a peacemaker, that's really just a nice way of saying that I avoid confrontation as best I can and pretend like everything is okay even when it's not. Do you get that? I mean, that's me so often. I avoid confrontation as best I can and pretend like everything's okay even when it's not. Can any rest of y'all relate to that? Boy, I tell you what, the Bible says that I'm not making peace, am I? I'm not making peace. I'm pleasing people when I do that. Now you might say, you might be on the other side, say, I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to tell them what I think. I don't care if it hurts their feelings. I don't care if I slap their mama. Right? I mean, you've met people like that. You know? I had a neighbor like that in Crofton. But you know what? That goes too far the other way. Because that's not godly either. Neither one of those, that this peacemaker mentality, it's not godly. And this other one that says, I don't care what anybody thinks, that's not of God either. Paul was once a people pleaser too. He was. If you look at his life before Christ saved him, pleasing people was at the top of his list. I mean, we know this because Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, Paul tells us all the things that he used to live for, what he woke up each day to do. And we read here that he was circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to zeal, as to law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. It seems as I read that, Paul wanted everyone to look at him and say, Brother Paul, you are awesome. I think that's what he wanted. He desired man's approval and man's applause. And you say, Well, Ben, he thought he was doing it for God. Oh, he was doing it for man too. You look at the rest of the Pharisees. I don't know any of the Pharisees that did everything just for God. They did it for show as well. And Paul, before he came to Christ, was a Pharisee. He desired men's applause and men's approval. But you know what? That changed, didn't it? On that road to Damascus, when the resurrected and ascended Jesus Christ appeared to him, knocked him down to the ground, blinded him, and spoke to him, and called him into the Lord's service. And so here in Galatians 1:10, Paul is basically saying, I'm seeking God's favor now and not man's. You see, apparently there in Galatia, some of the false teachers were teaching and saying they had accused Paul of purposefully watering down the divine standard to make it easier for people. No, y'all don't have to listen. Don't listen to Paul. He's just leading you astray. He's trying to make it too easy. He's just trying to scratch your ears for you and tell you what you want to hear. You must follow the law, they said. Don't listen to Paul. He's saying this salvation is by faith alone. Don't listen to him. He's just telling you what you want to hear. He's just telling you so that he can be popular and win your support. But that's not the case at all, right? They allege that he was simply saying what men wanted to hear. But look at verses 8 and 9. Look at Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. Paul says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he's to be accursed. And we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you've received, he's to be accursed. I declare to you this morning, church, people pleasers don't talk like that. They don't. They don't say things like that. They would smooth it over. They would make it nice and fluffy. But you see, Paul's words were not aimed at pleasing men. They were aimed at pleasing God. Indeed, Paul had been delivering these words. In delivering these words, he was proving that he had been delivered from pleasing man. And you know what? Eventually, Paul would bear the stripes to prove it. People pleasers don't be, they don't get whipped for their faith. People pleasers do not get put in prison for their faith. People pleasers don't fight bears and lions and get bitten by snakes for their faith. And people pleasers certainly don't go to death for their faith. But Paul did. Paul did every one of those things, and his life proved that he had been delivered from people pleasing. Friend, listen to me. You and I must realize that naturally, we will give priority to our flesh and to the world. That's what happens naturally. We don't have to teach our children to do that. We don't have to go to school to learn to do that. You see, naturally, you and I will do what makes us happy. Naturally, you and I will want to do what the world wants us to do. And you say this morning, Ben, why is that? I want to give you two reasons. Two reasons why that is. Why is it that we give priority to our flesh and the world naturally? Number one is the pervasive power of sin. We've got to understand it. The pervasive power of sin. You see, for the unbeliever, think about this with me this morning. There are two camps in the world today. There are those who are believers and there are those who are unbelievers. In other words, they do not trust Christ as their Lord and Savior. For the unbeliever, it's clear why they give priority to the flesh and to the world. You see, the Bible says that they're slaves to sin, that they are depraved and literally can do nothing but sin. And you say, Ben, that's extreme. You mean an unbeliever can do nothing but sin? That's what the Scripture says. That's not what Ben says. Listen to Romans 14:23. Look what it says. Whatever is not from faith is sin. Now think about that for a moment. whatever is not from faith is sin. You see, that's why the unbeliever, even when they're feeding the poor, are still putting filthy rags before God because they didn't do it in faith with God in mind. Therefore, it's sin. Friends, sin is powerful. Sin is powerful and it's enslaved the unbeliever. But what about the believer? Why is it that even the believer so often gives priority to the flesh and priority to the world? You see, the answer lies in Romans chapter 8, verse 23. You might not know this verse by heart, but you know it from experience. And maybe you've never really thought about it this way. Look at what Romans 8, 23 says. It says this, and not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Do you see what Paul is saying here? Paul is saying your soul has been fully set free. Your soul has been completely redeemed, but your body is still awaiting the full redemption. You see, sin still holds sway over your body. And Christian, that's why you've got to fight sin until the day you die. I don't care if you're 90, you still must fight sin. But I've got good news for you. You see, there's a day coming. There's a day that's coming when you will be fully set free. As Paul exclaimed in Romans 7, 24, "Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" You see, Christ's church is coming to set you fully free, not from your body, but from this body of death. You see, friends, God has made us soul and body. And to be human is to have both. And so God in Jesus Christ is not coming to get rid of our bodies, but in the age to come, you will have a glorified body. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 42 through 44, Paul compares what this body of death, how it compares with this body of life, this glorified body. Look at what he says. "So also in the resurrection of the dead, it is sown a perishable body, it is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body." But until then, church, and that day's coming, I don't know how quickly. Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. Amen. But it's coming. And until then, every believer must battle against sin, against giving priority to the flesh and to the world. And so that's the first reason right there. The first reason is the pervasive power of sin. But here's the second reason. Why is it that you and I so often give priority to our flesh and to the world? And it's simply this. The fact is that you and I fear man more than we fear God. So often, don't we? In other words, we love men's applause more than we love God's applause. We love men to say you're great more than we love hearing God is great. You see, we're often more worried about what our friends and neighbors think of us, aren't we, than what God thinks of us. And women, this will tempt you. This will tempt you to stand in front of a closet full of clothes and look at it and say, "I've got nothing to wear." How many of y'all been there before, men? I mean, you're like, "There's a closet full," you know? That's what happens. You're more worried about what your friends and neighbors think of you than what God thinks of you. I bet God would be pleased with any of those outfits that are modest. Amen? Women, this will cause you, this will tempt you to gossip about other people and to make yourself look better than they are because you're more worried about man's applause than God's applause. Men, this will tempt you to lose your temper on the softball field or on the basketball court. Amen? I know all about that. I've been there. I've done that. My wife would love to tell you about it, I'm sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not proud of it. But you know what was going on in my mind? I'm more worried about winning than I am about pleasing God. How many of you men have been there before? Men, this will cause you and tempt you to talk incessantly about your 401k, your bank account, whatever else it is, your car, whatever else that you think will make you look macho instead of talking about Christ. Men, you know what, men? We are masters of small talk. We are masters of talking about really nothing. We can talk about the weather all day long, but we very seldom get deep amongst men and actually talk about things of God. And I think one of the reasons that we're more worried about applause from men than we are about applause from God. You see, when we're more worried about the applause of people than God, you and I, we lose out dreadfully every time. I mean, tragically, we lose. And so we must not give priority to the flesh and to the world, even though our nature is bent that way, right? You and I realize that our nature, because of the pervasiveness of sin, is bent that way. We must not give in. We must fight. We must fight. And finally this morning, here's the third thing that I want you to see that stems from this passage. You and I must recognize that we were meant to please God. We were meant to please God. Church, there is no greater joy than pleasing God. There's no greater reward than pleasing God. There's no greater opportunity in your life, no greater blessing than pleasing God. You see, to please God is to glorify God. And when you please God, think about what you're saying. When you choose to please God rather than yourself, you're saying, God is worthy. God is worthy of my praise. You're not just saying it to God, you're saying it to the entire world. God is worthy of my devotion. God is worthy of my love. God is worthy of my reverence. And in general, that's what all of creation was meant for. Everything you see was meant to glorify God, to please God. Last night we sat out on our steps, Christy and Zach and Elijah and I, we sat out on the steps and sat in our front yard, and we just looked at the stars. I mean, you could see so clearly last night. And the thing that just kept coming back to me is that every star is pleasing to God. All of creation was meant for that. That's exactly what Romans 11:36 means. For from God and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. You see, the trees and the rocks and the stars and the horses, they and everything else, church, was meant to glorify God. They were created for that purpose. But let's get more specific. We're talking about all of creation. What about humanity? Humanity, let's get more specific here. Humanity, too, was meant to glorify God. We know in Genesis 1:27 that He created us in His own image. Now think about that for a moment. You and every other human being that has ever lived and ever will live was created in His image. Isaiah 43:7 says this, "Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made." Just in Him making you, you are a trophy of glory as you stand and as you walk and as you sit. You are a witness that God is glorious. But let's get even more specific. Let's get even more specific here. What about Christians? We've talked about all of creation. We've talked about all of humanity. But what about Christians as we just get narrower and narrower? Yeah. Especially Christians are meant to glorify God. Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says. For you have been bought with a price. This is talking to Christians. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Dear one, if you are a believer in Christ, Christ has bought you. He has redeemed you. You were once a slave to sin, but now you are a slave to Christ. And that's exactly Paul's reasoning here in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Let's look at this passage again. Galatians 1, verse 10. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God, or am I striving to please men? And then notice what he says here. If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. Now, most modern translations, including the KJV, use the phrase servant of Christ. But that doesn't get to what the Greek says. My translation, the New American Standard, it adds some weight to it and uses the phrase bond servant of Christ. But there's only one modern translation that I know of that actually gets the full weight of the Greek text. And that's the Holman Christian Standard Bible. It translates the phrase slaves of Christ or slave to Christ. You see, the word there that's translated slave or servant, bond servant, is the word doulos. And that means slave in the Greek. There are other words for servant in the Greek. Pais is one of the words. Diakonos is another word where we get the word deacon. Those are words that mean servant. But that's not the word used here. The word is doulos, which is slave. Now, most likely, I guess with our modern sensibilities, we don't like being told that we're slaves to anyone. We're the land of the free and the home of the brave. Oh, goodness gracious, church. Do you realize that's a perfect example of how we are set apart from the world? Yes, we're free, but we're free in Christ because we're slaves to Christ. Listen to me. Everyone is a slave to something. You're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to Christ. There is no middle ground. And how much better is it to be a slave of Christ? Amen. Oh, it is. It's glorious. It's joyous. If you're in Christ, Christ bought you. He owns you, and you should rejoice in that. He's your master, and therefore everything you do should be to glorify Him, to serve Him, to please Him. Level upon level, from creation to humanity, to within that humanity, all believers. You were meant to please God. So as we look at this passage here, and we think about the implications of Paul's words here, he encourages us to please God and not man. That's the basic gist of what he's saying. Do not please men, please God. So what are the implications? Well, now listen, one of the implications is not this. This is not one of the truths that comes out of this. The more people I can make mad at me, the better I am, the more spiritual I am. Y'all met people like that? Right? The more I make people mad, I must, boy, Satan must be attacking me. Look how mad they're getting. You know, it doesn't matter how I said it, right? We've met, that is so ungodly. Here's what the truth that comes from this passage for your life and for my life is this. If you'll work to please God instead of man, which means to please God first, that's what that means, please God first, you will be gloriously free. Think about that. You will be gloriously free. Yes, a slave to Christ, but the slave to Christ is the freest person on the face of the earth. Because the absoluteness of Christ's lordship over your life is gloriously freeing. It's liberating. It frees us from having to worry about having to please every person. I mean, imagine that for just a moment. If you just in your house, if you said, I'm going to please my husband, I'm going to please my son, and I'm going to please my daughter. you would probably have three different agendas for your life. But God says there's only one agenda. One ultimate agenda, and that is to please Him. Think about how that brings unity and integrity to your life. When you live to please only one person, then everything you do is unified and integrated because it relates to that one person. Should I go to this movie? You only got one person to please in that decision. Should I read this book? You only have one person to please in that decision. Should I make this purchase? Should I take this job? Should I go out on this date with that person? Should I marry that person? You only have one person to please, according to the Scripture, and that is God. What a freeing thing that is to know that there's only one person that has to be pleased in every decision of your life, and that is God. And so sometimes pleasing Him will please others, but sometimes it won't. And in those moments, we know this to be true, it hurts, doesn't it? We don't like not pleasing people. But we must be devoted to God, and the deep joy of a single-minded life is worth any hurt that we face when we don't please man and instead please God. But Paul isn't speaking in a vacuum here. He's talking about the implications of the gospel here. There's only one person to please when it comes to the gospel. Friends, listen to me. You must uphold the gospel, as we talked last week. Never abandon the gospel. The world will do everything it can to tell you to leave the gospel behind. Stop saying that people are sinners in need of a Savior and that Christ is the only Savior. That's what the world will try to get you to do. But you must uphold the gospel. Do not please men, please God. You must share the gospel. Again, the world will say, I don't want to hear it. You should not tell it. But God says what? Tell it. Tell it far and wide as you're going, as you walk and as you drive. Tell it. Please God and not man when it comes to the gospel. And finally this morning, you must receive it. You must receive the gospel. Maybe this morning you're here and you've never received the gospel, which means you've never repented of your sins and trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. The world will tell you this morning, friend, that you do not have to. You shouldn't. You should put it off. But this morning, do you want to please God or do you want to please man? Which one is it? I beg you this morning, if you do not know Christ, to trust Christ today. Be saved today. I would love to tell you more about the gospel of Christ. And then here in just a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond. If you'd like to know more about the gospel and begin to pray about the gospel in your life, please come forward during that time of invitation. I would love to begin that process with you. And so this morning, I ask everyone in this congregation, whom are you trying to please? Whom are you trying to please? Know this morning you cannot consistently please both God and man. Know that naturally you will want to give priority to your flesh and to the world, and realize that you were meant to please God. And so as we come to close this morning, I pray, as it says right here, that we will joyfully and with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind and with all of our body strive to please God. Amen, church? Let's do that. Let's do that. That is single-minded bliss.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Ben Simpson, pastor of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. If you would like more information about our church or about how you can obtain other messages, please call us at 615-529-2255. 615-529-2813. 615-529-2813. We are also on the internet at westmainbaptist.com. As we leave you, may you trust in Christ alone to the glory of God.